This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wong Xiaoning. It's 7:07 a.m, Tuesday the 2nd of June, and in about 15 minutes we're going to be speaking with Raghunath Kesavan, former Malaysian bar president, on the uncertainties surrounding the DNAA grant to Reza Shariz Abdul Aziz. But before that, we're taking a look at the markets.
Yeah, because global markets closed in positive territory on signs that economies around the world are opening and also stabilizing. So the US markets actually closed up. Dow Jones and S&P 500 both up 0.4%, and Nasdaq was up 0.7%. Meanwhile, in Asia, it was also a very good day yesterday. Nikkei was up 0.8%. Hang Seng was up 3.4%. Shanghai Composite up 2.2%. Singapore Straits Times up 1.6%. And our very own FBM KLCI was up 1.2%. It's as if COVID-19 never happened.
It is indeed. So this morning, we're taking a look for some insight into global markets. We have on the line with us Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Joe. Now, markets keep inching up on the back of economies opening up, but is this at risk of ignoring the rising US-China tensions as well as the negative impact it might have on the global economy?
Well, I think investors are keeping a very close eye on what's happening between the United States and China. It's heating up the rhetoric, the tit-for-tat, potential problems that could arise. But they're also looking at the massive fiscal stimulus, monetary stimulus that's coming globally. Europe just put out a big fiscal stimulus. China, the United States, Japan, huge stimulus. So they're more focused on second-half growth being better than expected or rebounding sooner rather than later.
And, the other issue I have is that there is this stark divergence, right, between how U.S. treasuries and stocks behave. So how do we make sense of the fact that bond markets are pointing to a slow recovery while equities are actually pricing in for what looks like a V-shaped recovery?
Well, one in particular is that when you're looking for yield and having all this money sloshing around the capital markets, it leads you to equities. So the equities, I don't think it's so much pointing to a V-shaped recovery, but a recovery for sure. Might be a little, W, there'll be a second wave, there'll be hot spots. But we're seeing, that's kind of what the equity markets are looking for. And then when you're kind of looking at the fixed income markets, they're being suppressed by central banks. I mean, sometimes you ask yourself, who's really setting the cost of capital? And it's really, when you see the unprecedented amount of involvement from central banks around the world, you kind of like rethink what you learned in the textbook. So I think the credit market's looking for more for deflation, but the equity markets are looking for equities to turn and the economy to turn in the second half.
And Joe, Japanese factory activity in May also shrank at its fastest pace since March of 2009. So it looks like they were hit badly by falling demand. When can we see the economic effects of the lifting of the state of emergency and their second stimulus package kick in?
Well, I think, June is the last month of the second quarter. So I think we're going to head into the second half of this year in better shape than we did, say, back in March and April. So the numbers are starting to improve sequentially. Year over year, they're still horrible. They're still down dramatically. But I do expect global trade that starts to bottom out here, rebound, more demand, more supply, obviously, than demand right now. But that'll turn as consumers get out, reopening, start to spend. Travel comes later. That's not going to rebound anytime soon. So I think in June and July and August, you're going to start to see these numbers sequentially month to month improve. And that's exactly what the equity markets are telling us.
And if we look at oil, right, OPEC Plus is considering extending supply curbs by one to three months. Is this a good thing as global markets start to recover from the pandemic? And how long do you foresee these cuts to last? Because when I look at Bloomberg, WTI is actually at $35 per barrel. Brent crude is at $38 a barrel. It's recovered somewhat. Do you see it stabilizing or even going up?
Well, I would be happy if oil prices just stayed where they were right now, as opposed to where we were a couple of weeks ago. So we've got some stabilization in the energy market. Supply is starting to readjust to demand. I think the demand comes back slowly. We are seeing traffic pick up around the world. Auto sales are starting to pick up in the U.S. as well. But so I think, OPEC, if they have to take a little bit more out of the markets, it is to keep oil in that $35, $50 range. I'm not worried about anything too much on the upside. And that's not the problem. But we did see too much on the downside. But I think the oil markets are adjusting. Producers are adjusting to more of a U-shaped recovery, so to speak, in oil demand. It's going to take some time. It's not going to happen overnight. But at least we have some energy stability. And that's part and parcel of the rebound we've seen in the S&P and global equities.
And Joe, do you have a view on the U.S. dollar? Because it has been weakening over the last few days against some major currencies.
Dollar, I mean, quite frankly, I'm not worried about that. It's more of a kind of tailwind for U.S. earnings, multinationals. What you've seen here is the Eurozone surprise, Brussels, the European Union, French, and the Germans getting together, creating a big package. It could have been bigger, but it's a good first step in terms of more of a fiscal union. So I think there's a more of a bid underneath. I think the euro's strengthening more than the dollar's weakening, and I don't mean to be semantics there. Dollar's going to hang in there. We're also seeing a little bit more stability amongst the emerging market currencies, because some of these currencies are the ruble, the Turkish currency, they've been just hammered. And I think hopefully the worst is over, but we'll see.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Now, speaking about money, there's been some interesting news in the international headlines this morning to do with Western Union, which apparently is seeking to acquire its rival money transfer company, MoneyGram International. And this is a Bloomberg source story. So that source says that Western Union recently made a takeover offer for MoneyGram, and these are two of the largest U.S. providers of money transfer services. The business has been somewhat on the decline as more people rely on online payments to transfer money. So one wonders what Western Union has in store.
Well, I thought we always talk about money. That's our favorite topic on the morning run.
It's certainly your favorite topic.
Yeah, it is my favorite topic. But if you look at this transaction, you know, while MoneyGram has aggressively grown digital transactions, they just make up 18% of money transfers in the first quarter. Now, previously, Ant Financial Services Group agreed to acquire MoneyGram in 2017, but abandoned the deal after pushback from U.S. regulators. MoneyGram, as a result, rose as high as 74% in late trading Monday, and Western Union rose 3.5% to close at 20 US dollars. But I think the question is, you know, with cryptocurrency, do you even really need to rely on these, I would almost say, somewhat old school ways of transferring money?
Yeah, so that's exactly the thing, right? You wonder what the future has in store for these money transfer companies, because they are somewhat almost dinosaurs, really, considering the vast number of ways in which people have now to transfer money from one point to another, almost in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, click of a button,
click
right?
Click of a button, absolutely. So if we take a look as well over in Hong Kong could see a secondary listing of NetEase, which is one of China's biggest gaming groups and a rival to Tencent, and it's NASDAQ listed. So it may be moving forward with its secondary listing in Hong Kong, which could be the start of Chinese companies beginning to turn elsewhere to raise capital amidst these tensions between the US and China, which we briefly addressed with Joe. Now, last week, if we remember, US President Donald Trump announced a probe into Chinese listed groups in the US and even ordered the government pension fund not to invest in such companies.
Yeah, there was also question marks about U.S. restrictions in terms of some of these listings, because there was issues about the liquidity, the free float, which Chinese companies actually probably cannot meet this requirement. But I think we're going to see more of these secondary transactions going forward. Alibaba was the first. I suspect more to come, you know. And so apparently Baidu is considering selling shares in Hong Kong. JD.com is another one, forging ahead with their Hong Kong secondary listing. So let's see.
Yes, NetEase's Hong Kong listing is expected to raise about 2.6 to 3 billion US dollars. And of course, not to mention that Hong Kong probably desperately needs this listing as much as, or maybe more than, the companies do, considering they've been gripped by protests for the past year and may be set to be stripped of special trade privilege with the US. Now, NetEase's price right now in US dollars is $397.59. They've gained what is that, $14.69
on this news.
Wow. All right. Well, that's certainly going to be a stock to watch indeed. But right now we have some messages coming up for you. And up next, we're speaking with Raghunath Kesavan, former president of the Malaysian Bar, on the uncertainty surrounding the Riza Aziz case. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.